welcome to the show. I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson. Guess what? Someone has moved our stuff again here, and we were unable to bring you the opening of the show, which normally would open the show, because that's sometimes how it happens. Did you know that this is an anniversary of sorts? And the plan was to roll out a rant. It's the anniversary of Michel Therrien opening up on his young charges in Pittsburgh. Now a little over a decade ago, probably the most played hockey rant in history. You know how it goes. That defensive squad, I'm really starting to believe their goal is to be the worst defensive squad in the league. They're doing such a great job to be the worst defensive squad. They turn the puck over. They have no vision. They're soft. I never seen a bunch of defensemen as soft as this. We should take 50% of their salaries because they play only 50% of the time. You remember, Michel Therrien. That was not an off-the-cuff, out-of-nowhere explosion, but as it turns out, a calculated, timely, and efficient blowing off of steam. A wake-up call he feels was instrumental in eventually leading to a Stanley Cup, although he was not there when they won the Stanley Cup. We find this out and a lot more as our friend, writer Eric Engels, interviews Therrien for a long read on Sportsnet, and a terrific read it is. Go have a look and know that the Habs coach is very capable of growth and change. I have related many times former Hab Terry Ryan in his 2014 book, Blasting Therrien, who invited him into the office only to blow cigarette smoke all over the room and then tell Ryan to go F off. That was 20 years ago, says Therrien. You have to adjust to the new generation of players. It's different. If you don't adjust, you don't survive. Really a great read. Go have a look. And of course, there's always the possibility that if something bothers you about the coach, it's possible he'll change and see things your way. There is, however, a good chance he won't be calling you into the office to tell you to go.
Well, I stood stone like at midnight, suspended in my masquerade, and I combed my hair that was just right, and commanded the night brigade. I was hoping the pain had crossed by the rain, and I walked on a crooked crutch. I strode on along to a fallout zone, came out with my soul untouched. I sit down, I stood up. Ooh, going up. In the flag of piracy flew from my mast. My sails were set wing to wing. I had a jukebox graduate for first mate. She couldn't sail, but she sure could slam. B-52 and bombed them with the blues. With my gear set stubborn on standing, I broke all the rules, straight my old high school. Never once gave thought to landing. I hid in the cloud and warmth of the crowd. When they said come down, I threw up.
So there you go, and hey, look, so far tonight, the Canadians with a 2-0 lead, and now 2-1. They got up early on Hellebuck, who apparently got some advice from Carey Price today. What did he tell him? Don't stop anything. I don't know how that's going to help you, but that certainly looked like what the advice was like early in the game. And then Winnipeg had a two-man advantage and could not score, frankly, because that is one of the worst five-on-threes I have ever seen in my life.
I can't wait to see.
Somehow, I hope he gets pulled tonight, and then somehow this gets turned around to Carey Price has lost it tomorrow in the Montreal media. I'd love it. You know, he had a bad game last game. Remember that goal? They analyzed how slowly he came across the crease on the fourth goal of the game. Like, he allowed four. Every goalie does it. You know, call me when he allows seven again, and we'll talk. Give the guy a break.
Who, Carey Price?
Yeah. I feel like there will be people that will somehow look at this and be like, look, Carey Price's advice. Look what it did.
You know what? They should be subjected to having 80% of the league's goaltenders instead of Carey Price for a couple of games. And that'll shut you up. That'll
yeah, trust me. Being a Leafs fan has been pretty rough recently.
It wasn't only the goaltending.
Didn't help, though. Didn't help.
All right. Coming up tonight, we'll talk to Arpit Basu. Of course, we're at a point where could he have set it up any better? I mean, Alexander Ovechkin, he goes to Montreal. He scores his 544th goal, right, to tie the Rocket in Montreal, and then goes home with 999 points for a three-game homestand where he is surely going to pick up his 1,000th point. And even better, he can do it against his rival, Sidney Crosby. So we'll talk about that. Arpit Basu will come on. He'll talk to us about the Canadians tonight. It's a weird time for a game, isn't it? 6:30 in Winnipeg. This is the loudest, one of the loudest crowds in the NHL, and they're like sitting on their hands. Like they're not ready or something. Or maybe they think this preliminary doesn't count. Or I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, this is the warm-up. 6:30, it's that's Winnipeg's right. Going to show up for
it's,
the second.
It's not the Canadians, it's the white and the blues, right? You know, Canadians preseason, they play whites and reds. Those are all Jets out there. That's so they're, yay, we scored. You know, it doesn't matter. All right, our hockey half hour, not only Arpit Basu, but John Shannon. It's been a couple of weeks. Haven't had an opportunity to talk to John. He'll join us. Of course, the NHL All-Stars and the Ovechkin Rocket Richard comparisons from different eras. How do you do that? I don't know. Abby Goldberg, our sociologist, have we figured out exactly how to put into context what Abby wants to talk about tonight, or will we let Abby tell us? All right, here. Let me see. In
2-2.
I told you.
Not Jordan.
Did
by
I
the way.
Call that? Did I call that? Please. Come on.
Yes, you did.
I told you it'll be 2-2 soon. So here's what it says, right? According to Avi, he sent this along. Meryl Streep makes comments on football and MMA during her acceptance speech at the Golden Globes, during which she called Trump out, of course. What did she say? What did she mean? What does this say about people's attitudes to sports compared to other art and culture? Is she right? Is she wrong? There you go. That's what we'll talk to him about. Also, great interview today. Made me laugh in a couple of spots. Patrick Kane, going back to the All-Star game. Do you know how close he is to the scoring lead right now? He knows.
He's very
and
close.
And he tells you that when you ask players, they'll go, I don't know. I don't count them all up. And he says, liars. They're all liars.
Well, it's definitely a lie, right?
They know. He nailed his point total. He named his he nailed his goal total, his assist total, and how far he's behind.
I wonder if we asked him about previous years. That's where I think like maybe you start to 3 years ago. How many goals did you have,
Pete
you
know? Rose?
I want to know.
Pete Rose, I think, could tell you the pitch count and the pitcher he was facing on hits that he got.
Now that's a memory.
Well, especially since he had over 4,000 hits.
That'll do it.
Unbelievable. The guy was unbelievable. When it came to that sort of thing. All right, what else do we have? We have voices. We'll hear from the aforementioned Patrick Kane and a whole bunch of other stuff. And, of course, the opening face-off with Grant. This is Sportsnet Tonight. I'm Elliot Price.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Earlier this week, Ovechkin tied the Rocket. Tonight, he gets a chance to pass him for goals and also get his 1,000th career point. You kind of mentioned it there off the top. Between us, we already discussed it. We've put to bed the comparisons between Rocket and Ovi for our personal opinions. And we both said it's not really fully comparable because they're in different eras.
And fully comparable, there's no comparison. You can't do that. You just can't.
And I agree with that. So let's keep it in this era right now, okay? Ovechkin, right now, in his lifetime,
yes.
Okay, since he's come into the league, not his lifetime, sorry, so it's 2005, 2006, any players that have played, they could have been at the end of their career, you could count Jagr, who's not the same now, but was there, and rookies now, how many players right now, if you had a draft, or you could, you know, pick everybody, and you're getting 10 years of their prime starting today, it's not age, forget that, how many players, since he's come into the league, would you take above Ovechkin?
Above Ovechkin?
That's what I'm saying. Well, you know, like in this era, where does he stand? Because I think we all agree Sidney
Crosby.
Because
I'm looking at two kids right now that I might take instead of him. I don't know. How good are they going to be? How good is Austin Matthews? How good is Connor McDavid? It's very possible I would take both of them over Ovechkin. I don't know.
I'm a huge Leafs fan. Yep. I don't put Matthews there.
You don't
look
today.
Matthews is having.
No, guy,
I agree, but
oh,
Ovechkin
geez,
in his
played,
first year.
Guys played half a season.
Hold on. Ovechkin at half a season had 110 points as a rookie.
That's
a different league. I agree.
Bobby Hull got outscored by Frank Mihaljevic, and he didn't win the rookie of the year, but he seemed to start scoring after that because he was a natural scorer. Not every natural scorer
that's
walks
fair.
Into the National Hockey Leagues and League and starts potting. So. I don't know. I think it's very possible that I would end up taking both of those guys over Ovechkin. But will any of the current players be a better goal scorer than Ovechkin?
No.
Lyonnais looks like the first guy since Ovechkin to have that kind of scoring prowess.
To me, the thing that separates those two, and I agree, that's the comparison. Stamkos can score a lot of goals. It's not the same way. Lyonnais, you watch, it's very similar, right? He's got his spot. He's got his release. Stamkos has the same spot. I agree. But Stamkos also is kind of, it's not about speed. It's not about size necessarily.
But I tell you what, though, because Stamkos appeared to be on the Ovechkin path. And now this is two injuries later.
Yeah, big
and
injuries.
So I don't know. He might have. He was still on the upward trajectory, so
maybe he comes back and he still is. But
he's
to me,
never going to be that
never,
guy. He's never going to be that
I still
guy.
I would
now.
Have never taken Stamkos over Ovechkin. There was never a period in there where I said he's better. Tavares, same thing. Even Patrick Kane, right now, how great he is. I'm not taking him over Ovechkin. I'll say this: when Ovechkin came in, like right now, he scores a lot of goals, but they're the same. Do you remember how electric this guy was? He reminds me of.
He just scored. I mean, we just turned on the game.
Wow, 35 seconds in.
We just turned
points.
On the game. Freddie just switched over between periods to Washington-Pittsburgh, and Ovechkin scores.
So he really was just saving it for Pittsburgh.
5:45. And what's he got? 4:55, right?
And Montreal 3-2 as well. I'm just looking right now.
Oh, my God. How did we miss that?
I don't know.
Crazy. Everyone
Thomas
is scoring.
Plekanec.
It's insane.
Plekanec.
He wasn't even supposed to play.
Scored.
He had the flu.
Well,
I don't think he skated this morning.
Makes sense why he's doing things he doesn't normally do then. But yeah, Ovechkin, look, it's 7 seasons where he had 50-plus goals, plus would have been on pace the lockout year. The guy's incredible. I agree with you. I think Crosby, we all say yes, would take him over it. McDavid, the way he looks, is a possibility. Yeah. And like you said, the young kids you don't know.
I know, but you throw out those numbers like they actually mean something in the context of the history of the National Hockey League. Ovechkin's 50 is not Gretzky's 50. You know?
Ovechkin's 50, if you look at the last
exactly.
5 years, nobody's scoring 50, and he is.
In the context of the numbers that they're able to crunch, they say that Ovechkin's 60, what is he, 65? Is that his best season?
65,
his 65 is only rivaled by Brett Hull's 87. Although I got to tell you, when I'm looking at the Rockets' 50... and the next best guy is 32 that year.
That's pretty good. That's
how does that not rival anything? Anyways.
So that's
continue.
There. Look, outside of that, Penguins Capitals tonight, not just the Ovechkin show. It's also a great rivalry. We've already talked about that in the past. But right now, if there were a playoff series, okay, these two teams are in it. They're not matched up to play each other, but we all agree that Metropolitan and the wild card spots are going to switch. Is there any playoff matchup or series you would want to watch more right now than Pittsburgh-Washington in the NHL? It's still, to you, the number one that you'd want to see. And I'm talking about this year. It's not just Crosby and Ovechkin, right? Washington, we saw Braden Holtby, how good he's been lately.
Well, the reason I don't want to see Chicago is St. Louis because I'm a Blackhawk. I don't want to have to face them again. You know, I'd love an old-time, anytime you can give me an old-time Canadiens-Bruins. But you know what? Canadiens-Leafs.
It's the only one I...
Because you know what? First of all, they haven't faced each other in a million... But none of that means anything other than if you've watched these two teams play, it would get ugly.
Oh, absolutely.
And what
absolutely.
More do you want? Right?
I want 7 games if it happens. You know, Leafs could be up 3-0. Actually, that's a lie. I'll take the sweep. That's a blatant lie. I would absolutely take it. But I'll take Leafs versus anybody right now as the playoff series
understand.
I want to watch.
But I think Canadians and Toronto would be special.
I've already said when it happens, which it will eventually happen, especially the way the playoff format is, I'm going to one game here and one game in Toronto, and it'll probably cost me a month salary, but I'm going to do it. I'm going.
All right.
All right.
I hope you know someone.
Well, yeah. sticking with that game. Two premier teams in the East. Forget about playoffs. Forget about all that. They're the two hottest teams in the league right now.
You work here as a reporter. I'm sure we can get you in to cover the game.
Well, that'll work. There you go. I mean, I'm really going just to cover the game, though.
Do you know?
Yeah, but you told me the rules about not cheering in the press box.
Well, you don't have to, you know. You can cover your mouth, run out of the press box. Yes!
Just a coughing fit.
See, the thing, you know what the trick is? I told you what the trick is. All right? The trick is to be in the press box of the team that you're cheering for. You can only do this in Toronto. Because if you yell in Montreal, people will hear you.
Yeah.
Because there's not cheering going on when that team scores. That's where I got messed up in Philadelphia. I should have been in Chicago. Some advice going forward when the Canadiens play the Leafs in the first round of the playoffs.
I'm sure it's going to happen. I have a good feeling it's going to happen, and I can't wait to see it.
It can't happen.
We'll see.
No, it can't happen.
What do you mean? Wild card.
What's that?
They're like two points out of the wild card right now.
I understand, but the Canadiens are not going to be the one seed.
Oh, that's very true.
That's the
Canadiens
problem.
Will be.
There's going to be three teams in the Metropolitan, it looks like, although they keep piling up the points. But it looks like there's a good possibility there might be three teams in the Metropolitan that could have more points than they have. So
sticking with these, look, you just talked about it. It's all Metropolitan. Who is the best team in the East right now?
I am the best team!
You mentioned Columbus was a team to watch a while ago, by the way.
And we watched them.
So that worked. That worked out. They won 16. But if you had to pick...
Stop watching Columbus!
The team that... And I picked Pittsburgh was, to me, the team that was hottest. They both have been on a run. Yes. Who to you right now is, if you're an East team, the one team you don't want to play? Where is this going to go through in the playoffs?
I don't know.
I like the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I
watched them play. Well, and I think that is the top two teams. Yeah. But and I know that's not an insult to the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah. They are doing it, like you said.
It's funny because the East is now at a higher percentage than the West, so there should be better teams in the East than the West right now. But does this tell us more about the National Hockey League than anything else? I mean, yeah, okay. Washington, Pittsburgh. Nobody's out there. You're going, no, if we face them, our season's over. There's no one you can't beat.
No, I agree. And look, they've only had 8 losses all year, Pittsburgh. Yeah. They're 8-0 after them, so good luck in a playoff series. And 18-2
Nothing that happened so far during the regular season is what's going to happen during the playoffs.
Doesn't mean it's a guarantee, but... I'm very impressed with the way they're playing.
If I say it, it's a guarantee.
This one here, All-Star break's coming up. Rumors haven't really gotten crazy yet, but you know they're coming.
Yeah, you changed from rumors to the people.
Well, you know they're coming.
Yeah.
What is one realistic trade? Like, you can't say, I want Crosby on the Blackhawks here. A realistic trade...
I want Crosby on the Blackhawks.
...that you can see or would like to see for any team. It doesn't have to be for the Blackhawks or the Canadiens. Any team. All-Start, for me... One thing I need to see this year, it's actually a need. I'd rather this than the Leafs improve even. Jerome Iginla to Calgary. They're in the playoffs right now. And here's my second. Or Edmonton. Send him to one of the two. Either reunite him with his old team and let me get to watch Iginla go out with the team. Well, he didn't build the Flames, but he was huge on the Flames.
How can you send Iginla to the Oilers?
I would love it. If the Flames don't want him, go to the... Because both of them need help at right wing. Right wing for Calgary, Chiasson, Frolik, Farrellin. I mean, Iginla is a veteran. They're both young teams. Edmonton's third line, Slepyshev? Come on. Slot Iginla in there.
I know he's not having
a... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not having a great year, but I would love to see Iginla play a meaning. And even if he's on Edmonton, imagine they play Calgary in the playoffs.
I think he scores a
game-winning goal against them. Would that rip your heart out?
Trade Ovechkin to the Blackhawks. That's what I think. And then, because I'd like to see Ovechkin win a cup.
Don't say Crosby, I say. He goes Ovechkin.
Look, Crosby has two cups. How many does he need? Besides, if he wins another cup, he'll have one more than Taves.
There you go. Okay, fair enough. And would you like
have
to
the
see
same amount as Taves? I'm sorry. Then he'll equal Taves.
All right, even Freddie. Freddie's the Flames connoisseur here. He takes it. He takes it.
What?
Iginla. He would say
on the Oilers?
It. Yeah. No, on the Flames.
Exactly.
On the Flames.
Can't have that.
Last one. Joining an old team, we just talked about Iginla maybe going back to his. Last night, David Backes went back to St. Louis.
He went back to St. Louis.
Not only fights, instigates it, gets thrown out, 10-minute misconduct. A few weeks ago, we saw Jerome Iginla try to fight Mark Giordano, kind of chased him up the ice, slashed him, was talking trash. Do you like seeing old, like, it's not a Habs player that played here for 6 months and left. These are guys who, like, made their careers in these cities.
Came back here. They sold a million tickets, and then he broke his foot. right? So he didn't come back then. I think he came back the next season, and he did end up as the game's first star. He must have scored at least one. Maybe he scored two that night, but the Flower came back to Montreal.
I like seeing players fight the fight their ex teams. I know this sounds bad, but I don't want to see you. Oh, that's my old team. I'm soft on them. No, you go out there. You're a true leader.
I didn't want to see
you punch them in the face.
I didn't want to see Bufflin come back and beat up Blackhawks.
Well, that I don't blame you either. There's certain guys you say, please leave us alone. But I like seeing the guys not come back and be, you know, so buddy buddy during the game. After the game, go out for beers. During the game, you're my opponent. I like it.
Opening face-off with Elliott Price and Grant Robinson. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price and Grant Robinson.
Hi, welcome back. Here is the voices portion of our program. People that have made news in the last 24 hours. But we'll start off with the Winnipeg Jets and see how close Paul Maurice was to nailing the Montreal Canadiens they were playing tonight. Coach, what were you expecting?
An awful lot of speed and quickness to their game. A great amount of patience, right? They won't force that. They're more than willing to defend well and defend hard and use that quickness and let you get frustrated with that, and then they counter on you real quick. So good finishing hands on a lot of their players. Goaltending's pretty strong for them, so there's lots to handle there.
All right, all but the goaltending has been strong for them. 3-2 for the Canadians.
Hellebuck's out.
A hell of bucks out.
Yeah, 3 goals on 7 shots. Thanks for the advice, Bryce.
God. That's my goodness. Are you talking to me?
Stick to goaltending. All right. Jeez.
Full interview with Patrick Kane coming up in the second hour. Some great stuff, but as you know, with Mitch Marner in the league now, they played for the same junior team, and not at the same time, obviously. And he's a smallish, flashy player, and so a lot of comparisons from Marner to Kane. And you know, the Toronto guys are saying, boy, I can't wait to go to the All-Star game so I can watch guys that I watched growing up. That tells you how old you're getting, Patrick Kane.
Obviously, there's some comparison there with the size, and we both played in London, and he was a top pick as well. But, I think, you know, one of the things with him that I really notice is he's, you know, when I watch him, he's kind of got that that all-around complete game where he's blocking shots, he's playing defense, which, you know, I never really did that much at that age. You know, he has, it seems like, great chemistry with the line he's been on with, you know, Van Riemsdyk and Bozak. So, that team's maybe one of the funner teams to watch in the league. Even Matthews. I mean, how can you not be impressed with him? I didn't realize how skilled he was, and how good of a shot he had, and how good he is at stripping pucks and making moves along the boards, different things like that. So I think you can tell, you know, Toronto's got a bright future. The Leafs are going to be good, and they're already good, but they're fun to watch right now too.
Rest with Patrick Kane coming up just after 9:30 tonight. All right, there seems to be a differing opinion in the country, almost like the two giant networks are warring when it comes to the opinion on Jose Bautista. Now, the other guys are saying that Jose Bautista has jumped to the top of the Blue Jays outfield free agent list again. But that's not what was heard this morning on The Fan in Toronto, with John Heyman from MLB.com saying it's unlikely.
They hope he signs somewhere else is what I think is going on. And, they're monitoring the situation. I guess if they can get some kind of unbelievable deal, if he says to himself, well, you know, I got all these business dealings in Toronto. I love playing there. I want to come back. Is it possible that they sign him back for something less than that 17-2, they're not going to pay more than the 17-2. I guess there's always that remote possibility, but I think they're going to play it out and hope for that draft choice.
But John, have you heard anything from anyone that would suggest that they want him back?
No.
Ouch. That was succinct.
Yeah, that wasn't...
No. That was
No.
No. All right, so we'll see who's right here. That was this morning with Blair and Brunt. And the rest of that interview coming up next hour. Meanwhile, the Toronto Raptors, we watched it here last night, we're talking about a great comeback, fabulous fourth quarter, and we were also talking about DeRozan and MVP candidacy. Well, what a game he had last night, put a smile on his coach's face.
He's a tough kid. He didn't grow up in Compton for nothing. I mean, he's a tough kid. More than anything else, the 41 points is nice, Michael, but the 13 rebounds, the 11 defensive rebounds when we needed it, you know, with Pat being not 100% and, you know, they putting two guys on JV trying to keep him out, and, you know, DeMar came in and got some big rebounds, tough rebounds. So that was impressive. That was more of a sign of grit and grind as much as the 41 points.
All right, and you're going to love this one, Grant. Of course, one of the best NCAA championship games ever. And we know, like, two teams were in it, and many were not. Michigan wasn't in it. And their coach, Jim Harbaugh, ESPN caught up with him at a basketball game yesterday and asked him about it. You're going to love this. Have a listen.
Coach, in a season in which your football team had three losses by a total of 5 points, how do you put into perspective how difficult the task Clemson completed last night was in winning that national title?
Well, I heard it was a great game. I have a TiVo'd. I fell asleep, but I heard it was an incredible game.
Touchdown! Watson throws for a touchdown! It's finally coming home, baby! It's coming home!
I fell asleep, but I heard it was an incredible game, and congratulations to both teams and to Clemson.
The late, great Rory Gallagher, he could sleep on a clothesline, and Coach Harbaugh could sleep during the most exciting football game in a very long time. So there you go. Liar! Excuse me.
It's all stuffed up. I think that's what it was.
All right, coming up, we'll talk about the Canadiens on top 3-2 against the Winnipeg Jets. Maybe it's just too early a start. Maybe Winnipeg doesn't know the game started. I don't know. Arpan Basu, the senior managing director of Elanosh.com. After Grant's update on Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price, CFMB 1280 AM, Montreal. Arpan Basu coming up in just a moment. We'll be back. Oh, he's there. He's there. No way. All right. We're back. Did you miss me? Arpan Basu, how are you?
Well, yeah,
I'm losing.
Good to me, you know, like the schedule of your own show. That was impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You never know, because you know sometimes we have the intro for you and the Arpan Basu, but we're going through rotating producers. So now you know why we did what we did. Okay, so I explained myself.
Okay.
That's all. I know you didn't know. It's all right. But that's good. It's just nice to hear your voice, because that would be the next thing, right? Arpan, are you there?
Yeah. Right. I thought for a second that that's what was going to happen, but I'm here.
I'm reading today that Carey Price gave the Winnipeg goaltender advice, and I'm thinking, what did he tell him? What? Let in goals? Because he was good till Carey got to him.
Well, this has been an eternal problem for Winnipeg. I mean, honestly, like this is the one thing that is holding them back from being a really competitive and consistently competitive team is goaltending. And so, you know, I thought they addressed it by finally admitting that Andrei Pavlovich is not an NHL goaltender, which they did at the beginning of the season. But the two young guys that they have right now, neither of them have been able to sort of grab the starting job. And I think this is probably a point of some concern for their franchise. But, you know, I mean, you know, how about give up 3 goals on 7 shots tonight, and he's out. And this has been sort of a revolving door of giving opportunities to guys, to either Hutchinson or Hellebuck, and say, which one of you want this? And neither of them seem to want it. So, you know, obviously the game's not over right now, but the Canadiens, you know, getting that lead and sort of taking advantage of every opportunity they had, seemingly, doesn't bode well for the Jets. I mean, this is something that they need to address.
Things have changed. I mean, you hope for something positive to come out of a negative, and obviously all this time at center, Danault, he's a center, right? I mean, somebody's... David Desharnais, has he lost a job or a center position during this time when he was not playing?
Well, perhaps, yeah, because, I mean, if you make... I mean, it's not only Philip Danault, it's Michael McCarron.
Right.
I mean, it's the combination of the two that makes it very tenuous for David Desharnais when he's eventually healthy. I mean, Michael McCarron as a fourth-line center is looking pretty sweet. And then you add in the fact that Troy Mitchell is a center. Philip Danault has been very good. Alex Kansas struggled, you know, the last two games notwithstanding. So when Alex Galchenyuk gets back, even then you're thinking, okay, well, who's moving over to the wing? And then when David Desharnais gets back, it's even further. I mean, how is he going to possibly bump someone out of the middle? Because, frankly, Michael McCarron looks like an ideal fourth-line center right now.
Right.
So it's a tough situation for Desharnais. Like, I mean, you never want to lose a job based on injury, but let's be honest, his job was tenuous even before he got injured. So the fact that guys have stepped up in his absence, Danault and McCarron in particular, would lead me to believe, which I have believed for a long time, that he should play on the wing. And just give him a shot on the wing and tell him, listen, you're a winger now. If you want to extend your NHL career, this is where you need to play, because I think this is where you will be the most effective. Go out and be effective on the wing and give him a shot on the wing. I don't see what's wrong with that. I mean, I think that he should have been moved to the wing like 2 years ago, as far as I'm concerned.
With Arpan Basu, a managing editor at LNH.com. And I ask you, is it not in the Canadiens' best interest, and is it possible somehow to get some team to take Desharnais off their hands? That I know you have to give them something to take him, but the Canadiens would then be able to add a big salary for top six.
I don't think you need to give them something to take him.
Okay.
I don't think so, because he's in the last year of
right.
his contract. I mean, you can trade him for nothing, and some team might take him because there'd be so little of his salary left at that point. But honestly, like, trading him at the deadline is not going to free up that much money that you'll be able to add something significant based on what you traded. I mean, he makes $3.5 million or whatever, that's off the top of my head. But I mean, it doesn't really create a lot of room cap wise.
No, but what I'm thinking is, whatever cap they have now, if you add that to that, then you have, I don't know what they have left, but tacking on his salary to what they have makes for, you know, more maneuverability, certainly.
It does, for sure. However, on the other token, if you want to look at it that way, I mean, every year when you enter the playoffs, it's good to have guys who are not in the lineup or actual NHL veterans.
Right.
This is how I would see it. So keep Desharnais, let him sit out and just be there in case, and then when the season ends, you let him go, and that's it. So, if I were the Canadiens, I think it would be a pretty comforting feeling knowing that you have a guy who's been through playoff battles, who has gone through playoff situations, and has played well in the playoffs in the past. I mean, a lot of people don't want to admit that, but he's actually been effective in the playoffs in the past, knows what it's all about. To have a guy like that as like your pinch hitter on the bench is not a horrible thing, in my mind. But your point is fair as well. I mean, if they want to free up room, find someone to take him. But who's going to take him right now? He hasn't played in a couple of months. Hasn't been all that effective when he was playing. Who is going to want to take on that salary? And for a guy who's pretty clearly ineffective at this point. So, you know, let him play for a bit when he gets back. And who knows when he's going to even get back. He doesn't even seem to be on the radar right now. But I would find it hard to believe that they would find a team to take him, and even if they don't, it's not the end of the world having David Desharnais as a healthy scratch or as a fourth-line guy. because it just provides you more flexibility in terms of the playoffs when injuries might hit and you can't do anything about it.
All right. Sven Andraghetto scores for the Canadiens, and his mama cried. And Canadiens have a 4-2 lead. Go ahead, Greg.
Someone always scores when I'm on the phone.
I know.
With you.
Well, no, it happens all the time because when Mark Dumont is on, they always score. So it's just when we're on. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think that means the Habs are scoring goals a lot. but look, we had Eric Engels on last night, and he was essentially...
Did they score while he was on?
No,
because he doesn't come on
they
game
didn't.
Night.
Yeah. But he was essentially 100% sure.
He's a prima donna, that's why.
he pretty much came out...
That's been recorded.
I hope he's listening.
I like it. But he was almost sure, like 100%, that Alex Radulov will remain a Montreal Canadian after the season, that they'll find a way to work out a deal. Are you as confident about the two sides working out a deal and him not going to another team after this season?
Yes, I am. I mean, 100% is pretty strong.
Yeah.
Anything could happen, so I'm not going to say 100%, but I'm 98% sure. I mean, Alex Radulov could have had a two-year deal with the Detroit Red Wings if he wanted one. They offered it to him. So he wanted to come here for a reason. He's played in Quebec before. He liked what was going on here. Clearly enjoys playing here because he's had massive success and just has had such a positive effect on all his teammates. I mean, that's the one concern with Alex Radulov when he was coming here. It's what is he going to do to the room? What is the chemistry going to happen? Is he going to mess up? Is he going to do all the things that he was known for in the past? None of those have come to pass. And not only have none of those come to pass, the exact opposite is the case. He is like a leader in the sense of a work ethic, an enthusiasm for the game, enjoying practice. I mean, I've never heard a coach say a player enjoys meetings, ever. I've covered this league for 16 years now. I have never heard a coach say that that guy enjoys meetings. And Michel Therrien said that about Alex Radulov, and that says something to me. So, you know, I don't think the Canadians need to be sold on him anymore, and I don't think Alex Radulov needs to be sold on Montreal. It's going to be a question of money. And so if the Canadiens come up with a reasonable offer that does not seem to him like an insult, I have no doubt that he's going to re-sign with them.
Well, at least he's getting some respect here tonight. I'm getting none, okay? I want to remind you, Grant...
Why would you get any respect?
Because all Eric did last night was agree with me, Grant. If you recall, I said the only reason that the Blackhawks got Panarin is because he wanted to play in Chicago, and the only reason the Canadiens got this guy is because he wanted to play in Montreal, and that's why he's going to stay here almost 100%. And then you go, oh, Eric said,
yeah, but if it goes
the show
south,
is about me.
I was protecting you, Elliot. If it goes south, now you're off the hook.
Oh,
is that? Record that part too. The show is about me.
And hey, record that. If anybody's a prima donna around here, it's me. All right. You want to weigh in on the different eras of Ovechkin and the Rocket? Do you really want to fight this battle here?
Wait!
Canadians have scored again. The Canadians.
This era is Rocket Richard, and it's not even arguable. If you look at the numbers and you see to what extent he has outscored the rest of the league compared to the extent to which Rocket Richard outscored the rest of the league, it is clear. He is this era's Rocket Richard. Not culturally, not off the ice, not in terms of an inspiration to a nation of people and all the people who went back at me on Twitter like, oh my God, well, Rocket Richard, he inspired the Quiet Revolution. Fine. But on the ice... They are very, very similar players. Remarkably so. Which made what he did the other night in Montreal so much more special because he is this era's Rocket. I don't think it's arguable. And if you want to argue about it, I don't feel like it. But it's just, it's obvious. Like, if you take away all the romanticism about Maurice Rocket Richard, you just look simply at what he did on the ice compared to his peers. And you look at what Ovechkin has done on the ice compared to his peers. They are remarkably similar.
All right. I hate to tell you, Canadians scored again, and not only did they score, but Dano maybe scored the goal of the year.
Probably, maybe.
He walked around. He walked around. Well, there have been other great goals. You know, I need replays of the other, but he walked around people like they weren't there. The Hawks want him back.
Yeah, no. How are Dale Weiss and Thomas Fleischman doing in Chicago?
Grant, will you remind him the draft choice the Blackhawks got in that trade? Who'd they draft?
I forget now. Oh, Alex DeBrincat. Alex DeBrincat.
So it's not all bad, okay? Just say it.
Fine. Fine, Elliot. If you want to stick to that, then fine.
All right.
Maybe. It was Bufflin who got dangled like that, too, by That's the way. Right, so yeah. Another ex-Hawk.
All right. Maybe we'll call you next week, Arvid.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll answer.
Oh! Thanks.
Take care, guys.
All right. I'm laughed out. This was your little laugh fest here. We should have kept him on through another, like, 9 Canadian goals here. You know? Oh, puck over the glass. Let's
see. Corey Mitchell was doing them a favor here.
Wait, is it 9-2 yet? What's the score?
That was an awful delay of game, though. I know the puck rolled on him, but it just looked bad.
It stuck to his stick. You know when they put their stick flat on it and they pick it up, right? It kind of sticks to the stick. That's what it did. And then it just flipped over the glass almost by itself.
5-3.
And it's 5-3. And it's an 8-goal game. Who had the under?
Well, was there an under 10.5 tonight? Or was it? Does it only go up to 6.5?
I don't know. What's the highest?
I'm never letting that go, by the way. I'm taking the under 6.5 tonight.
That was a good one.
Come on.
That was bad. Marinaro.
Shifley, second of the night.
Oh, he's got 2.
Wow. So does Deneau.
That's true. And it's early. All right, we'll talk to John Shannon from Sportsnet. Maybe he has a different take, right? He's an old school guy. He'll weigh in on the Rocket, right? Huh? What do you think?
I think he's going with the you can't compare eras answer. Okay. I think he's going with that.
All right. Coming up next on Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price, CFMB 1280 AM, Montreal.
Playing hurt? Baby, that don't faze me. I don't got time for pain. The only pain I got time for is the pain I put on fools who don't know what time it is. Sure, I check a few fools. I give them the pain. But sometimes it's about intimidation, you know. It's mind games.
Elliot. Gravy, hamburgers, and fries.
Worlds are colliding.
Elliot Price. Gravy, hamburgers, and fries.
That's no tragedy.
Ça peut fonctionner.
Hello?
Hello?
Elliot.
Is that you? You know, okay, before you say anything further, you're actually on the air right now. So be careful, John Sportsnet. Be careful, sir.
Man, oh man, you guys are a test tonight.
You have no idea, but yeah, you're just minute 53, all right? I want to tell you. But it's
That's
good.
That's not a good sign.
It's been a terrific show. It's just had its moments. I mean, what can I tell you?
Well, we can change that.
Yes, we can. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. What a crazy game we got going here. Canadians and Winnipeg, they got 8 goals already. But 1 goal in the Washington-Pittsburgh game has gotten Ovechkin to 1,000. Talk about the sense of timing, right? He scores his 544th in the home of the Rocket and then goes home to get his 1,000th point. That's pretty amazing.
It is, and particularly against Sid and the Penguins, too, and when you think about that. So a home game, and then Crosby, who has, whether you call it this or not, been his nemesis since they both joined the league after the lockout in 2004-05. I mean, it is quite something. And in many ways, Elliot, this is, I think, Ovechkin's most important season, because he has to prove to a lot of people that not only is he a great player, but he can be a great team player. And it's important for his Washington Capitals to get beyond the second round, and in fact, in my mind, get to the Stanley Cup final. And in many ways, they're doing it the right way this year. They're playing a lot more controlled, a lot better defense, and that's why I think Ovechkin's numbers are down, because he's being much more responsible at both ends of the ice.
Does he have to win a Stanley Cup? I mean, man, there's a million teams now. There are going to be great players that aren't going to win Cups. We know Gilbert Perreault never won one. Marcel Dion never won one. There are great players that haven't won Stanley Cups. And he has been the greatest goal scorer of this time, certainly. And some will argue the greatest of all time.
Yeah, well, I think he does in order to get into that, you know, like where do you put him compared to Gordie Howe or Bobby Hull or The Rocket? Or where do you put him with Wayne and Mario? I mean, you have to win. If you want to be in that group, you have to win the Stanley Cup. And not only that, Elliot, you have to compete and be successful on the international stage. And let's face it, that's one of the black marks against Ovechkin, is that his Russian team has not been very good at any level since the World Junior in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
For what it's worth, and I know because I grew up just waiting for one, Bobby Hull came very close to not winning any. He won one very young at the same, because Mikita and Hull won theirs the same age as Taves and Kane won their first cup. And, of course, those guys went on to win two more. But Bobby Hull never won another. He won one Stanley Cup. Man, they came close, but they only won one.
Well, I mean, who can forget 1971?
I don't want to go there, John.
And then again, 1973.
He was not there.
Wasn't part of the
That's
team
right.
in 73.
That was painful.
I know. He had already moved on and in many ways changed the... Yep. See, Hull's impact on the game was so much bigger beyond the ice, because he changed the way players got paid.
And we're watching the Winnipeg Jets tonight, and we know there would be no Winnipeg Jets.
And there'd be no Queen at the end of the arena.
What do you got, Grant?
Well, I was going to ask, look... A lot of the talk has been, you know, Rocket versus Ovechkin when he passed him here in Montreal. Naturally, a lot of debate started with that. Do you personally think you could compare eras like that? Would you have a personal preference of who you think had the better career? Or are you one of those people who believes you cannot compare eras?
Well, just a minute. Are we on a Montreal radio station?
Yes. No, we're not.
No one there is. We will. I'm lucky enough. I met the Rocket a couple of times well after he had finished playing. But there will never be people in our game like Rocket Richard ever again on so many levels. And what he did in a 16 league, when there was 120 great players and every night was a battle and you played the same team 14 times a year. I mean, I just can't imagine what that was like from that perspective. Sure, the game has changed, equipment has changed, philosophies have changed, but I don't think greatness has changed. And I think that we have the ability to judge the greatness of players like Richard and Ovechkin and Gretzky and Lemieux and anybody else you want to mention.
And if you look at guys just now, I asked Elliot this earlier. I'll re-ask it. If you just take players that have been in the league while Ovechkin has, you could get 10 years of any of them in their prime. So you could count vets like Jagr or young stars like McDavid. How many players would you take over Alex Ovechkin? Like, where
Five.
Does he stand? Five? Is that just Five. A random number?
No, but I mean, would you rather have Jonathan Taves than Alex Ovechkin? I would rather have Jonathan Toews. Would you rather have Sidney Crosby than Alex Ovechkin?
That's a definite yes.
I would rather have Sidney Crosby. And would you rather have Carey Price than
I didn't
Alex
think
Ovechkin?
Of goalies.
I'd rather have Carey Price. You know, but you said goal scorers. I'm starting to think I'd rather have Patrick Kane.
Right. I pointed out the two young guys that just entered the league the last 2 years. I said, we don't know. Well, you know, it's you know, 5 years from now or 2 years from now, Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid could be a no-brainer. Yes.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of that, what we're going to start hearing about in not too distant future for both players is that they are going to be the obvious answers to, will we ever see another offer sheet in the NHL?
Right.
And if they ever put themselves in the position of going to free agency in July, you know, July 1st of their the end of their entry level deal, we're going to see offer sheets, because those guys are franchise makers.
That will change the National Hockey League, and frankly, it's about time.
Yeah, I like where the game is going. I like where the league is going, but I do think that. And it's difficult to sit here and say that, you know, players are underpaid. But, you know, there appears to be a ton of money in the business right now on every side. And really, the only person that suffered is that middle class, what I would describe as that middle class hockey player who gets squeezed out of the game so quickly.
You know what? For me, it's not so much getting more money. into players' hands, I think it gives an opportunity. I mean, you're looking at a team and they are a forward short. Man, there is nobody. How many players that become free agents actually leave their organizations and move on to another one? Man, the Chicago guy stayed and the Pittsburgh guy stayed, and it's unbelievable. Guys rarely leave. They stay at their organization until they're way past free agency first time around. That's just the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and by the way, just to add another name to the list of guys, would you rather have Evgeny Malkin than Alex Ovechkin? I mean, he has a higher points per game ratio than Ovechkin does, and he has the ability to play wing and center, and he has a couple of Stanley Cups. And it's a great question. It's a great question. But there's no, and that's not to demean what Alex has done. I just think that, you know, the game is much different than everybody brings it out to be, and sometimes Ovechkin doesn't have as many dimensions as other great players do.
John Shannon, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, tell me when we're on the air, okay?
Yep. When you talk to Freddie, he'll let you know.
Okay.
John Shannon, Sportsnet, every Wednesday night here on Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson. The professor is up next. We told you what he wants to talk about. He will untangle the web. Coming up after Grant's update. Don't go away.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Right, as promised, the professor is up next, Avi Goldberg. As you know, well, you know, Grant, people that listen to the show might know if they listen too often enough. My boy and I have been playing the 1999 National Football League season since 2007, when Miles was 6 years old. And last Friday, we played the last regular season game. So I don't know how many games that is. There was 31 teams, by the way. So every week there was a bye week for somebody. And we played all 31 teams, 16-game schedule. And now, you mentioned the Buffalo Bills. That's the last time they were in the playoffs. The Raiders, who I got to the playoffs, even though they really went 8-8, I got them there at 12-4. They have to play those Bills. So those Bills might still see Tennessee, because Tennessee is in the playoffs. I'm just saying. We got, he's going to be 14. We started playing this when he was, what, 6?
Man, that is dedication.
That is dedication. I know, crazy people.
What are you guys going to get, catch up? Do 2000, 2001? You got to go through every year, no?
I don't know. He was getting all upset there. It was like 6 months ago that we were reaching the end of the season. And then we didn't play another game for 6 months. So it's like, you know, I'm just saying. It's a father-son thing. Avi Goldberg, professor, are you there?
I am here. Is the phone working?
What?
No.
Go.
Oh, wait a minute. You were fading there. Now I'm a little concerned.
Oh.
How are you?
Go Bills?
What do you mean, go Bills? What is that? That's just nasty. All right. Who's the next guest? Okay. All right. So what does this mean here? I mean, coming up after 9, I'll talk to Elliot and Grant about Meryl Streep's fondness for football and MMA. Please explain this week's comment and subject matter.
Well, you guys are big Golden Globe watchers, are you not?
I wouldn't call us big Globe. Did you watch it, Grant?
I didn't, but I heard the headlines. I heard that Ryan Gosling kissed another man. That's all I know about the Golden Globes.
I didn't know.
It's these two things.
I should have talked about that one.
No, I think you picked the right one. I think you picked the right one.
Okay, I'll be honest. I saw the portion of Meryl Streep's speech where she dissed the president-elect, but not the portion about football and MMA.
Oh, well, her entire speech was aimed at the president-elect.
Yes.
She, in doing, one of the things as she started in doing so was commenting on, you know, these are all actors convening for the Golden Globes. She referred to all the various actors and people who work in the industry as foreigners,
right.
He called them, actors who come from other states and other countries and other cultures. And her comment was basically, again, this is a shot at the president-elect Trump.
Right.
If you got rid of all the foreigners in our business, right in Hollywood, the only entertainment you would have left would be football and mixed martial arts.
Oh, there you go.
And that's not the arts. Went on.
Right, okay. Yeah, it was Hollywood, foreign press. If you got rid of all three, was that it?
Yeah, that's it. And all, so all you'd have
Thank
left...
Thank goodness I'm here, Professor.
you know, like, all you would have left for entertainment,
right.
Football, MMA, and then she added, and that's not the arts.
Right.
So one of the... I mean, there's actually so much that could be said about this, but, from a sociological of sports perspective, but... One of the most immediate questions that arises is that a diss against sports and fighting sports like MMA in particular, like is it a negative judgment that suggests that film and TV are, let's say, quote unquote, real art or worthwhile entertainment, and that the entertainment that comes from something like mixed martial arts or from football, and I presume she was referring to NFL or American football, that the entertainment, the experience associated with that is entertainment that, I mean, was she implying that this is entertainment that is more associated with the types of people who would be supporting the president-elect? Namely, I guess, more rural, more backwards people, less educated people. there were a lot of interesting things written and debates about this over the last few days. There's an ESPN writer by the name of Sarah Spain, who's a great writer. She's fantastic. I was reading her feed, I forget if it was that night or the following day, and, she was making her comments pretty clear, and she was saying that it's absolutely fantastic that the actress is speaking up. It was somewhat reminiscent of the whole debates about whether Colin Kaepernick should speak up. So she was defending Streep's right to speak up and to say what she wanted to say. But then she was also arguing that the comment was in no way negative against MMA or football or against its fans. But I have to say that I respectfully disagree. I think that it was a bad shot. Not that there's not certain things to be concerned about in relation to those sports or any sports, but I think that is such a simplistic way and a very unfortunate way of kind of lumping some good critique of the incoming president-elect with something that is, I think, in sports that's all too often, that throwing out the baby with the bathwater, as in it's all over the top or it's all too violent or it's all too commercial, without really getting into, obviously, the elements of sports that are probably way more, or I should say maybe, just as valuable as art form as in film or TV, et cetera.
My interpretation is that she was giving it equal parts, and if you took out one of the parts, then that's what you would be left with, almost like... Mm. Hey, look, this is my interpretation, not yours.
Right,
you can speak up after, as if, here's a third, here's a third, here's a third, and now we're missing something. That was my interpretation anyway. And by the way, I wanted to tell you, though I didn't want to tell you, that if you really like Sarah Spain, you can listen to her most nights on ESPN here in Montreal somehow, because they don't broadcast local broadcasters at that time. But I wouldn't say that.
but you digress.
That's right, but I digress. Anyways, that's my... Grant, go ahead.
Well, that's like me saying... I'm not insulting movies. It's like me going out and saying all you'd be left with is Meryl Streep and Betty White movies. She didn't say
Betty White movies.
I'm just
this is where you went.
I'm naming another old woman. That's all I'm doing.
Meryl Streep and Betty White.
I'm saying
Betty White didn't do movies. She was a television phenomena.
Okay. First of all, I wasn't getting that technical. It was just a little comment. But her comment about the foreigners and you'd be left with MMA. Conor McGregor is not. Is he not the biggest thing in
That's
the UFC?
That's right. You'd have to take him out. Then you wouldn't have MMA either.
Exactly. I mean, it has not. I don't understand really where she was coming from. I agree that maybe it wasn't her goal to do so. But if she thought it wasn't going to be seen like that, I mean, you really put some thought into these speeches, right? So there's no way she didn't know this was coming.
And, you know, and I must admit, I get my back up a little bit. I was just reflecting on this in the last couple of days. You know, within the, you know, and I'm not, let's be honest here, I'm not the highest level academic in the world by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I go to conferences at times. I associate with people who, you know, who are, you know, fairly high up level scholars. Among, you know, the so-called scholarly world, there, you know, and professors and academics, you know, there is a very, for many of them, not all of them, but there can be a very negative attitude towards sports, as though it, you know, it is somehow lowbrow, or it is somehow, you know, not worthy of our time, or that clearly, the, you know, the negatives, the bad things clearly outweigh the good things. So you know, my back gets up a little bit, and to me it was hard, you know, to think that she wasn't trying to give it a dig and to say that it, you know, you're going to be left with something that's not worth your while. And you basically, you know, need to be careful about this because, you know, our art is real art and our art is real worthwhile entertainment, whereas you're going to be left with kind of like the meathead stuff. So it was hard for me not to see it as the dig.
I agree. Elliot, you're on your own.
Hey, look, you know, that was my first impression on the subject. And frankly, I didn't think that... that I would have to go that deep to get an answer.
Why else make the reference, right? And especially in the context of the discussion of Trump and associated with the idea that, you know, the people who are likely to support Trump are, you know, the red meat eating fighting Southerners,
okay,
you know,
okay, okay.
Who love me some football. It's football o'clock and that's all it is, right? They're not, you know, obviously there would have been many people within that room who probably are big sports fans, and I would unfortunately hazard a guess that there are probably even some Trump supporters within that group who may not have spoken up or admitted it. But anyhow, why else bring it up in that context if you're not making a negative distinction?
I would be interested to find out if we gave people an opportunity to finish this sentence and take out the MMA and the football to see how they might have finished the sentence otherwise, that because she came up with that. I'm just saying.
All you'd be left with is?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But then again, when she's pointing out, I think you have to look at when she's pointing out MMA. I mean, let's be honest. Fantastically popular, as you said, fantastic athleticism, and yet there are plenty of people who will just never give it the time of day because it's simply perceived to be violence that's way beyond the pale. NFL, we don't have, you know, within certain circles, we're aware that especially for those who are being critical of sports more generally, the NFL is of course a total target for the concussion issue, for yeah. violence against women, et cetera, for all sorts of things. So, I don't know, I think those sports were selected rather deliberately. And I think the saddest part is, I mean, if I'm right in this interpretation, I'm not the only one who makes this interpretation. I like I said, there's been a lot of interesting chatter about it over the last few days. You know, the sad thing is there's so much interesting research, in particular on mixed martial arts. You know, quite aside from the question about whether it is like an art form, there's actually people who study and train, you know, to really understand. And we're not talking about people who are like doing it to make big bucks as stars and celebrities like the Conor McGregors of the world, but researchers and sociologists and anthropologists who go and actually train in the gyms, like just regular people like you and me who are training, and there's amazing discoveries of how participating in the sport is so meaningful to the athletes. There's even really interesting studies. You might find this to be a bit shocking or not. There's interesting studies about gyms. Mostly it happens in England, where men and women are actually training and sparring together, and it's viewed as a really uplifting, you know, individual and group type experience.
Professor,
where they're, you know, where the women are being tougher than they've been raised to be, and the men are learning to sort of challenge their own views about women and their strength. And so there's so many interesting, beautiful things associated with the sport. I think it's sad that it was kind of, well, you don't agree, but I think it was
no,
sad.
No, it's all right. No, that's fine. But I have three comments on what you just said. First of all, regular people like you and I, please speak for yourself, okay? That's one thing. Okay.
What, you wouldn't do it? You wouldn't do it? You wouldn't want to trade?
Hang on.
To do this? You beaten up?
Second thing, I want you to know that since MMA has come into being, I have actually watched two matches.
How many Meryl Streep movies, though?
Wait. Plenty. Most of them. I want you to know that I have watched no men's bouts in MMA. I've only watched Ronda Rousey twice.
Interesting.
And right now, in my third comment, I think it's very possible that the next time I watch MMA would have to be Ronda Rousey against Betty White. Because I think, I can't believe you let that go. How could you interrupt without
Betty White and Ronda Rousey?
Exactly. And he started up his next comment without weighing Betty White against Ronda Rousey. You know what, Professor? I'm a little concerned with you. You have to listen. You have to listen to the other people when they talk to you. Do you not teach this in your class?
I do, Elliot, but what's that old expression about, you know, do as I say, not as I do, or whatever it is? I don't know how that goes.
Ronda Rousey and Betty White, come on.
That would be incredible. That would be amazing. It's not going to happen.
Really? She's not going in the ring with an 85-year-old woman.
Give Betty White $3 million, she'll go.
Yeah. You know, she was married to Alan Ludden, right? You never watched Password.
I don't even know who that is.
Even I don't know what that is.
It was a television show. It was a game show on television. Never saw Password, eh?
Was it in color?
What's that?
Was the show in color?
That's a very good question. I think when they brought it back, it was in color.
Can you stream it? That was a better answer. I like that.
All right. Are you done, Professor? You got something else? Is that it?
It's a big week for you, no? This week?
Every week's a big week for me.
Are you still a birthday boy? Are you still considered to be a birthday boy?
My birthday is over. The Raiders are over. You know, at least I didn't break my leg.
Oh, my God. Terrible.
Knock on wood immediately.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah. All right. You're done here.
Happy birthday a couple days late.
Thanks, prof. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you later. Talk to you next week. Talk, guys. Bye-bye.
I got the click and everything. You hear that? Hey? He didn't just say goodbye. He's out of here.
Well, I don't like the new phones, right? You can't hang up, like, emphatically. Now, right?
Oh, yeah? Take this. Slam it down. And the next thing you hear.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. You know, you want to hear that ring as you slam it down. I haven't had that in my lifetime, really. My lifetime is just click the end button.
Click the end button.
Not the same thing.
Nah.
You know? Not the same thing.
Are you kidding? Phones on the wall. You know?
Like, how do you hang up rudely on a telemarketer when you can't slam the phone down?
I know. Oh.
Oh, there's ways.
Then you, it's a verbal attack, is what it is. I have to get my money's worth. My wife wants me to just hang up. Just hang up. I can't do that. I have to tell them what bad people they are.
They're trying to feed their families, Elliot.
By ripping off old people for their money?
That's all they're qualified to do, maybe.
So that's how they feed their families, and I'm not supposed to give them a hard time.
I will also say this. On the way here every night, I get asked for money at least 6 times. Every red light I stop at,
you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Anybody?
I've seen that one. That one I've seen.
John Candy's driving, you know, he's on the wrong side of the highway.
Good film.
And the people are trying to get his attention, and they're yelling at him, "You're going the wrong way!" And then he turns to Steve Martin, and he says to him, "What? How do they know where we're going?" Those were in pillows! There you go, now you don't have to see the movie.
There's only two good jokes in that movie. That's
two,
funny,
two funniest lines, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I don't know what else to say. All right. At Washington, a score. No, that's Guess an old who? Replay. Is that it?
They've scored a second.
There you go.
Guess who?
Ovechkin.
Yeah.
He's going to get a hat trick tonight, right?
That's why I'd like to see it happen.
Hey, Alex Ovechkin, 1,001. I've lost it tonight, huh? That's 2,001. It was close. He's now halfway there. More than halfway there.
Woosa.
All right. What else do we got coming tonight, do you know? Don't look down at the paper.
Sure. Don't tell people I was going to look down at the paper.
I mentioned it.
I like to see Morgan.
Give me those papers. I now have Grant's papers.
I know there is stuff for Grant and Elliot to discuss.
Yeah, no. That's, what's coming up?
I believe that's...
Right, Grant's got an update, and hopefully, you know, that he has more paperwork, because I've taken it away from him. That's your update?
No. It's on the back here.
Oh.
But I will say this. We're probably going to get into...
Have you ever typed anything in your life?
I'm a great typer.
Everything Grant has... Oh, sure you are.
Why would I type out and then come back and rewrite? When I leave my house at 6 p.m., none of the games have started. I get what you're saying.
Here's
write it
deal.
As the thing.
Okay.
I saw how you did
you
it.
You put it into your computer... right? You type it out on the computer.
Yeah,
you leave the blank spots for the score. Habs blank.
No.
Jets blank.
I like to be more hands-on because when I write it, I remember it. So if you took this paper away from me, I would still remember the scores and remember what I wrote.
Well, you should be able to do that.
I agree, and that's
what,
how I do it.
What if,
stay out of my
what
personal
if the lights in this studio went off and you had to do that?
That's what I just said.
Exactly.
I wrote it down, so I remember.
We'll see about that. Grant's latest update coming up and the stuff that he doesn't remember also coming up, like an interview with Patrick Kane, thanks to the guys at Hockey Central in Toronto, and maybe even an interview with John Heyman from MLB.com, like where's Jose Bautista going, stuff like that. That could be on the show coming up. What do we have coming up, Grant? Do you know?
I believe it's a former MVP talking about a future MVP.
Oh,
I believe is what's
I don't think that's lined up. That's not what's coming up at all. I think you've lost your mind. Patrick Kane coming up with the guys from Hockey Central at noon. And it's the A team with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McClain. I was thinking, how many goals does Philip Deneau have now?
I thought you were going with the Ovechkin thing. I was like, nowhere close. But
No. How many goals does Philip Deneau have now?
Hold on. Give me a second.
Philip Deneau, right? Teravainen. Saad.
Deneau had before tonight.
Eight.
He had seven, so he has nine now. He has nine now.
How many of these guys have more goals than Jonathan Toews? Guys that Chicago traded away.
But who do you want lining up against Ryan Getzlaff at center ice come playoff time, right?
Yes, but
Toews is more important than.
Who do I want in 5 years?
Fair. Well, not Shea Weber either.
I understand, but you know, hockey.
Yeah, you're right.
Hockey has turned the Blackhawks with. If this was 20 years ago, all these guys would still be Blackhawks.
But you know what? At one point, I feel like the Blackhawks. You could ship one of these guys off at the end if you want. I'm not saying it's going to be a popular move, but you know, the Blackhawks seem to do a great job of filling up the cover. I mean, it's constant. They keep losing guys, and they say, how are they going to replace them? And then all they do is get their names on a Stanley Cup again.
Yeah, we'll see. Because that leadership group, you know, first of all, we know Hossa's just about done, right? He's having a good year, but he's getting injured more frequently. And Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Seabrook and Duncan Keith, they're all starting to get there. This is just about it. So it's this year, maybe next year, and all of that. Now, all of this talent that's coming now is going to be good, but the great is going to disappear. None of these guys are great. The greatness is disappearing.
Well,
and
we
that's going to make it very
windows,
difficult. What's
right?
That?
We always talk about windows in sports. The Montreal Canadiens, people say they have 2 years for their window. At least the Blackhawks, the window's still open after having already ran through it three times, right?
And they got lucky in getting Panarin. Here turned out to be a top 10 point getter in the National Hockey League. Didn't make the
stud.
All-Star game and should have.
He will.
Certainly instead of Jonathan Toews this year. And Patrick Kane, still Patrick Kane. He's knocking on the door. How close is he? Patrick Kane knows. Here's that interview.
Patrick from Chicago. Nice to have you back on the show. How are things?
Where have you been?
I've been waiting for my invite, so I was finally good to hear from you guys yesterday. Knowing I was coming on the show, I was excited.
He was ticked off because last time he was on with you guys, I wasn't there. And it didn't feel the same, he said.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad it's the regular crew today. So that made me feel good.
So how did you find out that that you were going to Los Angeles for another All-Star game?
It was actually during our morning skate yesterday. After the skate, Quinville usually brings in all the players and just kind of talks to them about what he's expecting for the game that night. And, you know, instead of doing that, he just announced that four of us were going to the All-Star game. So it's pretty cool.
So this is your sixth. You get tired of these things? Superman 1 year. Like, what's coming up here in L.A.? It's L.A. It's La La Land here.
Glasses. He's got the big glasses going again.
You gotta bring it.
Yeah, you know what? It's exciting. I think I don't think you can ever get sick of these things, especially you know, when you go and meet different players and get to do different events. And you know, like you said, it's in LA this year, so it makes it even more entertaining and fun. So I think that's kind of the basis of the players now. We want to go to this All-Star game and try to put on a show for the fans, have some fun, and you know, bring some entertainment, I guess.
Just, I was thinking the other day when I saw your picture of you and Taves with the Team USA jersey on, and I thought, if I played for the Chicago Blackhawks and like Taves and lost to the U.S. like Team Canada, you'd be the last guy I'd want to run into the next morning. Are you like a real pain in the ass when to these guys or what?
Well, you know what? It was actually pretty cool. We actually played the night of the championship game, and I think it was pretty much on at the same time, or their game might have even been earlier, so we weren't expecting to catch any of it. And, you know, with it going into overtime and a shootout, I think it was right after a game we beat off Buffalo in overtime, so we got off the ice, and there was probably about 25, 30 people in our lounge watching the game, and we had all the boys around watching and all of our teammates, and you know, it was pretty cool just to kind of sit there and you know, knowing what transpired with the U.S. and Russia and the shootout, and then with this one going into a shootout, and of course the Terry kid scoring was just kind of fun to watch, and of course all the Americans were cheering, all the Canadians were pissed, but I think during the game Taser was going in and checking the score in between periods because he was so nervous about wearing the jersey. So
did you get updates during your game?
No, I wasn't getting updates. I was just trying not to worry about it, but some of the staff told me that Taser was going in and watching the game in between periods, so pretty funny.
Of course you're okay with the shootout as long as the right team wins.
Yeah, totally.
You know what? I don't know. I think you know, especially in the shootout brings excitement for sure. But I think in a championship game, it's always fun to see that overtime goal or that you know, golden goal or whatever they call it. So it would have been cool to kind of see it extend into overtime. But I mean, the shootout brought a bunch of drama as well.
Patrick Kane from Chicago, the Blackhawks all-star forward, joining us on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. Are you a guy that keeps track of things like the scoring race at all? Do you check in, say
Come
what Connor's
on,
doing?
Of course he is. Come on.
Or are you going to tell me that you don't? Do you just let things happen?
I think anyone that tells you they don't would be lying to you. You know, it's actually me and one of my teammates, my former teammates, Patrick Charbois, had a joke going on when, you know, he'd ask certain questions like, how many goals do you have this year? What are your assists or points or whatever? And someone would always try to give that answer like, oh, I don't know. I'm not keeping track of that stuff. But deep down, you really know that stuff. You just kind of don't want to, you know, let it off to all your teammates. So I think, you know, as an offensive guy, that's kind of how you try to judge yourself and you know, see what the standards are. So you always got an eye on it. I still think it's, you know, pretty early to worry about it and have it too much in the back of your mind. But you're always checking it out for sure.
So what are your numbers right now?
Oh, man, I could probably tell you my shots on goal, my Corsi, everything. But I think I have 12 goals and, let's see, I think I have 45 points, so that would be 33 assists. Right?
You got it.
How many are you behind McDavid?
I think three, right?
Three is correct. And you're heating up now. It's almost as if you kind of teased the league a little bit by holding back, but now you're all set for the back half of the season here. You're going to just tear it right up.
Well, I think, you know, as a you know, you see a lot of offensive guys, maybe they go through different types of slumps and hot streaks. So I guess when it's your time, you want to, you know, take advantage of it, especially when you're, you know, putting up numbers and points. You want to keep it going. But, you know, I think it's funny. I think Crosby is right there too, but he's played like 11 less games than me and Connor. So he's having a tremendous season. He's always the guy to kind of, you know, watch.
Now you're a guy that looks, you know, the way you play the game, you remind me of a guy that could play a ton. And you're more than a minute ahead of Taze. But do you ever really give Joel a shot or like a poke and say like, give me a little more ice time?
You know what? Maybe in past years. This year, I've been playing a lot of minutes, so you don't really have to do that, or you know, kind of show that you want to be out there. You know, I think the one thing and maybe Johnny does it too, but I would always do it. It's just kind of, you know, you like stand up on a bench and ask who's up next.
So, and wave, you know, and wave your hands.
You don't have
fire.
Just remember this. When I was assistant coach in Detroit, Jerry Glant, Gerard Glant, elbowed me in the stomach as assistant coach. He said, tell that dummy to put me on the power play, meaning for me to go and tell Brian Murray to put him on the power play. So give Kitchen these guys a shot. Right.
You know what? I sometimes in warm-ups with the assistant coaches on the bench, they're taking the other team's lines, and I'll go up to Deneen or Kitchen and just say, hey, probably about 26, 27 minutes tonight, just joking around, but kind of throw that in there, you know.
Hey, you can Mark Messier and Marion, all the best. They'd have one leg over the boards, and then they'd look back at their coach and say, who's up? And then you would hear, you are. That's it. Just have 1 foot over the board. Just have all your weight just about 2 seconds before falling over the boards and say, who's up? I guarantee you, it'll be you.
Well, what if the puck hits me in the shin pad on the boards? I'd be too many men.
Amen. Austin Matthews is on record saying he's really excited to spend some time with you and Jonathan Toews at All-Star Weekend. The comparisons between yourself, Mitch Marner, are long-standing since they started the season. Do you see your game in Mitch Marner? Because he's a big fan of yours.
Yeah, I think obviously there's some comparison there with the size, and we both played in London, and he's a top pick as well. But I think one of the things with him that I really notice is he's, you know, when I watch him, he's kind of got that all-around complete game where he's blocking shots, he's playing defense, which, you know, I never really did that much at that age. It seems like great chemistry with the line he's been on with Van Riemsdyk and Bozak. So that team's maybe one of the funner teams to watch in the league. Even Matthews. I mean, how can you not be impressed with him? I didn't realize how skilled he was and how good of a shot he had, and how good he is at stripping pucks and making moves along the boards, different things like that. So I think you can tell, you know, Toronto's got a bright future. The Leafs are going to be good, and they're already good, but they're fun to watch right now too.
Before we go, is it true? I don't know. You probably did see it when the ceiling fell in on the studio a couple of weeks ago. Is it true that you hired somebody to take down the panel in front on top of Doug McLean?
Yeah, it's like I was like the Phantom in there, right?
Yeah.
Like having the chandelier come down or something, but
like you were worried about me, though.
Yeah, of course. You know, you guys are fun to watch. I give you credit. You guys are like, it's great reality television.
You got any room in your luggage?
We're doing me and Seabrook every day at the rink.
Could you put in a word? Maybe I get invited to the All-Star game.
Yes. You got any room in your luggage to take Doug out?
I don't get to go to any of those things. They send me to Florida on the weekends.
I know Kipper's always there.
So he's a wheel.
He's the franchise.
So maybe we'll get you there.
Kiprios is you. He's the franchise here. He's the franchise.
I got 1 foot over the boards here every show.
We got to find.
Is that why he's in the middle?
Yes, exactly. We got to keep him in check. Thanks for doing this.
Who's great, going to LA?
Great catching up with you and enjoy LA.
Good luck, Patrick.
Thanks, Pat.
Okay. Thanks good luck. For having me. Talk to you soon.
John Trudell. Wild American. You're the one they never tamed, 'cause you stood your ground and they could not make you change. You're the warning. They still don't understand. Watch your back now. They'll kill you if they can. When they burn your brother down in the name of freedom, I don't care if that's left or right, it's wrong. If that's all they can do, then you don't need them. You're the one, wild American. Steve Earle. I remember it was something that you said Put your picture in the paper and
Patrick Kane having another one of those years. Going to win another scoring championship. And really?
You were very 100% about that, Mr. Blackhawks.
Well, you know what?
Win another score. There's a few good players up there, though. It's a nice race this year.
Who won the scoring championship last year?
Patrick Kane.
Who was leading the league in scoring when he broke his collarbone the season before that?
Patrick Kane.
That's right.
Was Connor McDavid playing 82 games last year? Let's wait. I'm just saying, let's wait and see. Because McDavid is, he's been very cold lately. He's heated up a little bit. But would I say Kane's not winning it? No. And he's proven that.
I like Kane's line mates better than McDavid's line mates.
I agree, but Patrick Maroon, guys make line mates. You know what? Patrick Kane did it before Panarin, right? So guys are going to produce.
If Kane continues to play, gets an opportunity to be out there a lot with Panarin and Anisimov, and Anisimov is having some kind of season. They all are. It's one of the best lines in the National Hockey League. It's one of the reasons that the Blackhawks are there, because Jonathan Toews has not been himself this season.
And the kids are playing good. You know, the kids are, they're not having all-star seasons, but they're producing.
And they're more solid on the defense, but we're talking about Patrick Kane running up points. So we'll see. Should be very interesting.
I like the confidence, though. I liked it.
John Heyman from MLB.com. He was on with Blair and Brunt today in Toronto, and they talked about Jose Bautista. There seems to be a difference of opinion on Bautista and the Blue Jays. Heyman's opinion? Well, you're going to have to wait. That's coming up next. Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price. This is CFMB 1280 AM, Montreal.
Elliot. Look, his battle's track record. He's a winner.
Ding, ding. Elliot.
Price.
Ding, ding.
Phenomenal.
Ding, ding.
There's nothing to do.
Elliot.
Ding, ding, ding.
Vous écoutez le Elliot Price sur le filet de sport.
Ce soir.
You need some break.
Gonna feel good about himself.
Something like that.
Right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
It happened fast.
Fabulous job.
Yeah, all of that except for the heavy sigh at the end there. It happened fast. Fabulous job, no doubt about it. That was Canadians at Winnipeg. And, oh, look, the Jets are showing some feistiness. Would have been nice for the Jets if they came out like this. They came out and they were, you know, a perfect example of the way the Jets played tonight was the ole that Dustin Byfuglien did on the Deneau goal, which was one and will be a highlight of the season goal. It probably will be the Canadiens' most impressive goal of the year. I mean, he took it from behind his own net and went all the way and scored. So coast to coast. But I mean, if you get an opportunity to watch the goal, you need to watch Dustin Byfuglien, see what he did on it, because he was kind of backing away. He gave him a lane, you know. It was like the parting of the red Byfuglien.
Radulov scored a really nice one, too, cutting in. He almost scored the same one against Toronto. I think you're going to see him do that. You know that little dangle he does right near the goal line, then cuts in? But, yeah, you're right. There's not many better than that.
All right, not a lot of time left. We do have to cover the National Hockey League in our fantasy update. We'll do that when we're done. Habs going on the power play. They're up 6-3, 11:06 left in the third period. Meanwhile, we told you, Toronto Blue Jays, John Heyman on today in Toronto with Blair and Brunt, talking about Jose Bautista coming back. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, here we are, January 11th, where, I mean, the Jays pitchers and catchers report on the 14th, so we're talking a month and, I'm sorry, 15th, we're talking a month and 4 days away from that. And there's still players, that, whether or not you give these guys 4 or 5 year contracts, I think a lot of us would probably take a Mark Trumbo on our team, a Jose Bautista on our team. Are you surprised that those guys are still out there? And how realistic do you think it is that there may be, at the end of the day, a hitter who says, you know what, I'm just going to wait until mid-June and you know, and keep myself in shape and then try to sign someplace in mid-June after the draft pick is lost?
Yeah, not just Trumbo and Bautista. I'm shocked at all the sluggers that are still out there. Napoli still available. Then you go looking at that list. There's like 10 guys. Moss, Pedro Alvarez, Michael Saunders. You know, it is a long list of guys who have hit 20, 30 more home runs who are still available. Mid-January, that's very surprising. Bautista, that doesn't shock me. I think that qualifying offer has really gotten in the way, particularly now with the new CBA. and the new rules that there will not be a first-round pick attached. And now he is saddled with that at age 36. So I think he's in a tough spot, much tougher than anyone could have imagined. But that is what it is. In terms of Trumbo, he's got clear interest. He had a big year last year. He's like 30 years old. He has some versatility, not a great outfielder, obviously, but he can play the outfield, can play first. I think Trumbo will be okay. Bautista, we'll see. I mean, every team connected to him. I saw most ridiculously the Twins connected to him yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't see that one. I don't get that one at all. I do think Bautista is a fine player. You guys know better than I do, but certainly a very talented guy, and it would be good pick up for somebody on a one-year deal that doesn't have to give up the first rounder. So I guess that's why the Twins check in. That's why a lot of these teams check in. But, there's only a handful of those teams that are looking for a slugger who wouldn't give up a first rounder. And so that's why he's in trouble. Trumbo's going to be okay. I mean, he's a younger guy, didn't have an injury year. He's going to get a multi-year deal from somebody. But it's shocking how many guys are left at this point.
John, do you think Bautista is in a tricky enough situation that we could be talking about the equivalent of Stephen Drew or Kendrys Morales a few years ago, where, guys who didn't sign until after the draft?
Possible. I wouldn't rule it out. If you're a team right now, and I think Bautista's great, but you're a team, it seems like you value those draft choices very, very high. Obviously, he turned down the $17 million, so he doesn't want to sign for a lot less than that. That could go on. It's not a good timing for him. He's not 28 years old at this point. I know he's a guy who's a hard worker, determined to come back and show that that was an aberration, which I think it probably was. He did play well at the end. Looking at his stats, he wasn't really bad. He just wasn't as good as he'd been before. Obviously, the injuries aren't ones that should carry over. So, he might be a good bet for somebody. But I think that the turning down the $17.2 million and having that draft choice attached to you makes it tough for him right now.
Now, the flip side of that is, there have been sporadic reports that the Jays have had conversations with Jay Alou, his agent, that there has been some. I'm pretty skeptical.
They have conversations with Encarnacion too. So
exactly.
There are conversations. They monitor things. They're thinking like you did, stay with that last question. Are we not going to get this draft choice? We want the draft choice. Mm-hmm. They hope he signs somewhere else. Is what I think is going on. And they're monitoring the situation. I guess if they can get some kind of unbelievable deal, if he says to himself, I got all these business dealings in Toronto, I love playing there, I want to come back, is it possible that they sign him back for something less than that 17-2? They're not going to pay more than the 17-2. I guess there's always that remote possibility, but I think they're going to play it out and hope for that draft choice.
But John, have you heard anything from anyone that would suggest that they want him back?
No.
All right, so there you go. 11 goals now in the Canadiens-Winnipeg game. The rest of the National Hockey League has 5 in 3 other games. So time for the National Hockey League fantasy update, and most of it is in this game. Let's see, 6 Montreal Canadian multi-point players. And with the last goal scored by Arturi Lehkonen, who hits double digits. So looky there. I mean, Deneau is almost at 10, and Lehkonen hit 10 with back-to-back goals in the third period. So you want secondary scoring? Hello. Lehkonen with the three-point night. He's got 2 goals and an assist. Deneau with one of the prettiest goals you're going to see all year. He's got 2 goals tonight. A goal and assist for Andrighetto. So he's had a two-point night. Boy, he needed that. Brian Flynn with 1-1. Nathan Beaulieu and Shea Weber, both with 2 assists. And the rest of the points go this way. Plekanec, a goal and 1 assist each for Byron Mitchell, Pacioretty, and Radulov. On the Winnipeg side of things, Scheifele with a pair. He's got 19 now on the season. Perreault and Little with the other goals. Two assists for Stafford. Little has added an assist to his goal. Wheeler, Nick Pétan, and Ehlers with the other Winnipeg goals. Mathias and Arnia, minus three. And on the Canadian side of things, Emelin and Weber, plus three. Pacioretty with seven shots on goal, and it is Montoya. You don't want either Winnipeg goaltender, but Hellebuck will really kill you.
Yeah.
Seven shots, three goals.
One goal he won't kill you, Braden Holtby of Washington. He's been on fire lately. He had allowed, one goal in his last three? Well, tonight, two periods, no goals against, 23 saves for him so far. But story of the night, without a doubt, Alex Ovechkin not only gets his thousandth point. I think I messed that up twice tonight. Two goals.
No chance to do it again, though.
There you go. Don't challenge me. Two goals tonight. Nicklas Backstrom, two assists. The other assists, Oshie and Backstrom, obviously for Pittsburgh. Nobody with any points. There's still a period left, but Marc-Andre Fleury, 18 saves on 20 shots.
All right, one final. Florida 2, the New York Islanders 1. The game's winning goal came in the second period. Jason Demers, his eighth for Marchessault and Jokinen. Also, Yandel from McCann and Trocheck. And Letty, Islanders' only goal from Cizikas and Clutterbuck. He is fifth on the all-time list in wins. Add another for Luongo, who made 30 saves. Grice takes the loss, 24 saves and two goals against. And one other game underway, first period, San Jose and Calgary. There is no score. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Thanks to Freddie. He's back. Well, at least for tonight, and maybe he'll drop in again on Friday. Cross your fingers. Freddie has a doctor's appointment tomorrow. His disc. Physio.
He hasn't been IR'd, though. What a trooper. He's fighting through it.
What do you mean he hasn't been IR'd? Hey, where has he been?
If he'd be IR'd, he wouldn't have been here tonight.
But he hasn't been here for a week, so...
He's day-to-day every few days right now. It's a repeating injury, that's all.
He's day-to-day every few days. We're gone. See ya.